news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dalton and Dan at 8:07 on your Mobile Mornings and on your Tuesday morning. And promises to be very hot again today with that humidity lifting up in the afternoon, too, making it uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's the truth. We've been seeing that for quite a time now. And get ready. There's more because we're only in the beginning of July.
Yeah, right.
And it was really, really hot out in D.C. this past week and weekend for the big America 250 celebrations. On the line with us, we have Quinn Hillier with QuinnHillier.com. He also writes for NOLA.com and The Advocate. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys. Hope you're all doing well.
Yeah, we are. So how'd you celebrate the 250th fourth of this nation?
Well, since my real name is semi-quincentennial, and Quinn is just for short.
Oh, we're breaking some news here.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So I did it up really, really big.
Yeah.
We actually did it sort of low-key, but yeah. We watched the movie 1776, the 1972 movie based on the stage musical, and that was actually sort of fun.
Okay.
A musical about the founding of our country.
Exactly.
Didn't know that there was one. Well, is it worth checking out for a
there's something called Hamilton.
Young fella like me. There is. That's right, I think.
Hamilton actually makes no appearance because he was not in Philadelphia in 1776.
Okay.
You got a lot of Adams and Franklin and Jefferson.
Yeah. A singing Thomas Jefferson.
I'll be darned.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I did not expect you to say that. I'm going to have to check that out, Quinn. But what'd you think of just the overall vibe of the, let's just single out the patriotic Americans here, not the ones who are looking to poo-poo the country at any chance. But I enjoyed the vibe. I thought people were really feeling it this weekend, and I hope that continues through the rest of the year, at least.
I'm glad you saw that. I did not get that vibe, and I really wanted to. I started writing literally three years ago. I started writing that we really needed to get up for this, and I didn't see enough people getting up for it. I saw Ashley Tolan Trice at Lanyap write the same thing, that she didn't feel that enough people were really feeling it. I'm glad you found a lot of people that were, because it's really something to celebrate. This is the greatest country in the world. The advances we've made for human freedom and human thriving, human dignity, have been a blessing to the entire world, and we had good reason to celebrate.
Great reviews on your story last week that a lot of us did not know nearly so intimately, as you talked about the Delaware and the Battle of Trenton, I guess, and you just kind of broke it down with who some of those young personalities were at the time.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate that. And you mentioned Delaware, and that's one other great story. At Continental Congress, trying to pass the Declaration of Independence, the Delaware delegation was split, and their rule was the thing wouldn't pass unless it was unanimous. And there was a delegate named Caesar Rodney who was suffering from cancer and was in Delaware, 70 miles away, but he was a known advocate of independence.
Mm-hmm.
And when they realized the vote was going to be split and that the Declaration couldn't pass without him, they sent word to him. And he rode on his horse with cancer 70 miles through a thunderstorm in one day, actually overnight, less than a day, and got there just as the debate was ending.
Wow.
And became the vote that put him over the top.
I've never heard that either.
Yeah.
Quite a story.
Yeah, good stuff there.
So you're talking about basically Dalton, what happened in Washington, D.C., because I didn't really... that was pretty amazing. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought the way they set it up was cool. I thought there were plenty of detractors,
yeah.
and we were kind of hating
well,
on...
Well, because Trump was in charge.
Yeah, because so much of that. But, I wasn't even just talking about D.C. I'm talking about the overall vibe, and maybe it's just the different media that we all partake in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I watched so much sports, and of course I'm watching the news all the time, but I felt the opposite of how you and Ashley felt. I felt that while there were plenty of people who were maybe not celebrating it, I mean, you look at the World Cup fans, even last night while we were down 3-1, some cool America 250 soccer jerseys that some fans in the crowd were wearing. And then I know you didn't like it so much, but the UFC on the White House lawn, the previous with all of our military members out there and all of these different flyovers and showcasing, you know, America's greatness. Yeah. And really, you know, I liked Trump's speech, even though it was late Saturday night, talking about the past in America and the future of America. I really enjoyed the whole thing. And I know everyone can have their own different opinion, but yeah. I was sensing the vibe. Yeah.
Well, look, the people that were excited about it got excited, not as early as I would have felt like. I would have liked a good 15-month build-up like we had at the Bicentennial. My sorrow was only that it wasn't universal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, in 1976, it was virtually universal. But look, I should look on the bright side, because there were a lot of people celebrating, some of them sort of belatedly, but still doing it. Either way, there was plenty to celebrate about, and I could go through the whole litany, mm-hmm. but you all know it, about all the good we've done in the world. And, you know, we are remarkably blessed.
Well, let's talk about someone who...
I wanted to make one point, though, Dalton. In 1976, and leading up to that, the media was very complicit in generating the excitement, because NBC, yeah. CBS, they were all in. They were all in, and they were the special programming, special promos, everything. So they were leading us like on a leash up to the Bicentennial itself. We're at a time now where the media doesn't play that
game. Yeah, they talked about the pool for the last 3 weeks.
Exactly.
The reflecting pool.
I think that one of the reasons that we were, you know, had hyped into a crescendo was the narrative that the media was laying out there for us, the media that we all watched.
I think you're right about the media hyping it back then, hype in a good way.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I also think, though, that our education system, not just colleges, but, I mean, we've seen what they're teaching, what they've taught, if they teach it at all. If they teach history and civics at all in schools, it's all about how bad America is. Mm. And, you know, polls coming out showing that 61% of people under 35, or, you know, between 18 and 35, have a good impression of socialism, and something like 69% of all Democrats say they're not proud to be Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are consistent poll numbers.
Yep.
And that is a lot based on what we've been feeding our kids growing up, not at home, but in our schools, and that's got to change.
Yeah,
it sure needs to. Well, text us what you thought of the entire holiday weekend and whether you enjoyed it or not. I know someone who is not in a celebratory mood right now, and that is Graham Plattner out of Maine. Mm. And there have been, you know, accusations going on for a while, and many Democrats standing by him, but that has really changed over this last day or two with even more accusations coming out about his character and actions. What are you seeing on this, Quinn?
Well, what I'm seeing is gross hypocrisy on the left. I mean, anytime somebody on the right has any kinds of problems, not even nearly as bad as Plattner, you know, they're attack, attack, attack. With Plattner, they keep... Up until the last 2 days, they've kept circling the wagons and defending him, even though it was obvious by now that so many of these things that were bad about him, I mean, not just the Nazi tattoo, but his horrible treatment of women, and they kept attacking the accuser. And one of them, one of his old girlfriends, a gal named Lindsay Fifield,
mm-hmm.
happens to be a Republican sort of blogger and campaign worker, and I'm on a group sort of email with her. We email back and forth, have been doing for 15 years, and even though she had plenty of sort of contemporaneous support, and even though there are all these other women that were saying bad things about him, all they did is attack her. They said, "Oh, she's a right wing, you know, whatever," mm-hmm. and therefore this is a political hit job. Not even looking at the facts that you know that she had outlined and the backing of them. Now, finally, that it's a liberal girl who says he literally, I mean, she didn't use the word rape, but what she described was a rape. Finally, they're backing off, where they attacked Lindsay unmercifully, which infuriated me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just because somebody is, you know, of one party or another, doesn't mean that you get to attack them if they are telling stuff that is backed up by contemporaneous accounts. I mean, what Lindsay Fifield said about Graham Plattner, she had contemporaneous scenes compared with what you know she had told people about it back then. Whereas Christine Blasey Ford attacking Brett Kavanaugh, mm-hmm. and the left went nuts with it and kept attacking Kavanaugh and kept defending her, even though her own best friend, who was a liberal, who she said was at the party, said no such party ever existed.
Wow. I forgot all that.
And so there's a double standard, there's a hypocrisy there, and it really rankles. But either way, this guy's on his way out, which is actually good for the Democrats. If he gets out within 6 days, they can replace him, and then they'll have a candidate who has a chance, which might not be the best thing, but...
Yeah, and there's been a lot of discussion about, you know, what tactics, of course, we can talk about the actual accusations and that things of that nature, but I'm interested, too, in how the Democrats plan to play this, because to them, they're looking at that Susan Collins seat as ripe for the picking. And then once all of this started coming out about Plattner, started seeing theories that, well, they're just going to get him in to the race and then replace him, or... if he had all these accusations and they somehow didn't come out, that would later be used against him maybe behind the scenes mm-hmm. to get votes going certain ways.
Yep.
I mean, it'd be ignorant to think that kind of thing isn't going on sometimes.
Well, look, and that's why I mentioned the timing. And from my understanding of Maine state law, they have until, I think it's either the end of this week or next Monday, if they are going to replace somebody on the ballot, they've got to do it by then. And so it's very convenient for them that if more stuff was going to come out, it's convenient for them that it came out this week so they can replace him. And I guarantee you that's what the entire National Democratic Party is now doing. For the uninitiated, for that don't know what we're talking about, the Senate candidate, Graham Plattner, now has had another former girlfriend come out and say that he forced his way into her house, that she kept saying no, that he threw her on the bed and forced her to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she is a liberal through and through. She is, she totally supports his issue positions. But she said she had to speak up.
Yeah.
Well, so there you
heard
go.
Her say that. She would still be in favor of someone with his positions, not
yes.
in favor of him.
No. And, exactly. And those, you know, accusations are vile. But what's kind of hilarious to me is the fact that this dude has a Nazi tattoo on his chest and is in a party that has spent the last 10 years calling everyone they disagree with a Nazi.
Nazi. Yeah.
And then when you have a dude with a tattoo there, they come to his defense. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen more blatant hypocrisy.
Exactly. And I mean, look, both sides do it. Both sides, you know, a lot of excuses made for various right of center people from activists on the right. I would like us to apply the same standards across the board to everybody. But I think the hypocrisy right now is way worse on the left, because you think of all the stuff that they've done to Clarence Thomas, to Brett Kavanaugh, to Sam Alito, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. with absolutely nothing to base it on.
Before we go to the break, what are the current politics in Maine? What kind of a state is Maine? I just get the impression it's very remote. You got a lot. You have not many people in a pretty big swath of land. I don't know what to make of that state. I know I understand Vermont a little bit. New Hampshire's got some suburbs of Boston. Therefore, you know, that's part of the politics. What is Maine all about?
Okay, so Maine has a lot of sort of working class blue collar, right leaning blue collar people, a lot of MAGA people in one district. And then the other district is now more left of center than not, but not way left. Mm-hmm. And it's just the two congressional districts. Overall, it's, you know, I hate to use the color things, but people would call it purple leaning blue. But it has Senator Susan Collins since 1996, who is a very moderate Republican. She's a wonderful lady. And their other senator is a declared independent who caucuses with the Democrats. So that tells you it's basically split down the middle, and it can go either way, but it leans left.
That's why Collins is always playing politics the way she does, right, Dalton? She's got to take care of that voting base.
Hops the aisle quite a bit. 8:22, we're going to continue our conversation with Quinn Hillier on the other side.
Turn up your voice on the text line. 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Dan and Dalton and Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, NOLA, also West for NOLA in Louisiana. That loud thud that you heard from coast to coast was the performance of the U.S. men's soccer team last night in Seattle.
Yeah.
Just bad from the start.
Yeah, maybe a little too much pressure. Got to them, played a better team, of course. Yeah. That got to them, and they just didn't. They were timid, looked kind of timid.
They did.
And it was disappointing, but overall, I've really enjoyed the Americans showing out and showing up until last night. Quinn, has your opinion changed at all on the World Cup over the last few weeks?
No, it hasn't. Look, I loved playing soccer growing up, lettered in soccer in high school, but I cannot watch it on TV. And let me tell you, their rules are different from what I grew up with. We had lots more contact in our high school soccer than they allow here.
What?
They call fouls and yellow cards and red cards for the slightest contact.
Nah.
And of course, what's even worse is the way people flop on the ground and act like they're so injured they're about to die.
Yeah.
And they look up and there hasn't been a yellow card awarded, and they get right up and
they wriggle around like they've eaten a bad piece of cheesecake.
I'll give you that
poisoning.
There is a lot of flopping, but there's also guys getting absolutely destroyed out there, like ran over full speed, knees to the back, cleats to the feet.
And that's what you're supposed to call fouls on. But I see so much incidental contact that's yellow carded when it was clearly not intentional. It was incidental, and then the guy's flopping on the ground. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't like it. And look, I was a very small guy when I was playing soccer. I was on the ground, 50 times a game.
More than you wanted to be,
25 times a game. I got knocked down. I just got back up and chased the ball. I didn't roll around except the time that I dislocated my elbow, in which case, yes, I lay on the ground.
Did you ever get yellow card, Quinn? Were you like a hideous little cheating soccer player?
No, I was way too small to get yellow carded. Nobody went down when I hit him because I was the one that went down. But as I said, I got back up again, and I kept running. I wish these guys would do the same.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have played soccer. My dad was running a pretty anti-soccer propaganda campaign from the time I was born.
No kidding! Wow.
Yeah, but even if I wanted to, I don't think that there was a single place to play organized soccer in Clark County. Mm-hmm. Maybe still might not be. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, still, congrats to the U.S. team for making it this far. I mean, we're 30 times bigger than Belgium. We should be having a team that could beat them, but I guess this is an advance compared to what we were.
Suppose so. Quinn, people want to read your stuff, QuinnHillier.com, place to go, right?
QuinnHillier.com, or just Google Quinn Hillier and NOLA, NOLA.com, and you can find most of my stuff.
Thank you, Quinn.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Yes, you do. And it's 8:35 now on this Tuesday morning. We'll get to the phone lines, text here in just a minute, 251-343-0106. But first, get to talk to a new friend. And that's Sage Klingon with the brand new. They moved, and I was there for the big grand opening, but the brand new Capital Tractor out there in Tillman's Corner, and Sage joins us this morning. Hey, good morning, Sage.
Hey, good morning, Dalton, man. How you doing?
I'm great. And before we get to what you got going on right now, how awesome was that grand opening a couple weeks back? I mean, you had half the dang county out there.
Man, that was something special. It was just great to see a lot of familiar faces, mm-hmm. and new faces. And for just everybody to see the new place and get to just mingle with everybody, it was fantastic, man.
It was. And I love, too, I mean, you could see it from the interstate, but the new location there on Fellowship Drive, basically behind the VA hospital, like I said, you could see it from I-10, and you could see a bunch of orange. You got a lot of room to spread out all your equipment now, and people, I mean, you could probably take a few hours to go through the entire lot. It is awesome.
Man, most definitely. We're just super excited about this location, too. And like you said, right there from I-10, being able to see all the Kubota orange, it's great. Mm-hmm. So we're happy to kind of have that road front right there. And, again, just super excited for the new spot.
Well, let's talk about good reason for people to come out now and come out this week. Finally, we got grass growing again after this rain these last couple of months. And perfect timing. You guys are doing a summer sell-off for gas mowers right now and some great deals.
Yeah, man, we are. We're running on gas mowers right now, anywhere from $750 to $2,000 off on select gas mowers. And so, with that being said, too, we've actually got some units that are tagged with some color tags. And so, kind of like a Easter egg hunt out there, man. If you find one, it's kind of exciting. Come in there, tell us which one you're looking at, bring the tag in, and be happy to work something up.
Yeah, like a big kid Easter egg hunt. That's awesome. And so if they find the bright colored tags, that means they've found a discounted unit and come to you and talk about it.
That's exactly right, man. So it's fun. It's got, like you said, it's like a grown up Easter egg hunt. Get to go find some machines that've got some discounted tags on them. So it adds a you know, fun aspect to it. So we're super excited.
And plenty of reason for people to come out and buy. And you, of course, not only do you have all the big equipment, but you have the handheld stuff too. And your service department, every time I've been out there, which has been several times these last few weeks, I mean, you already have your people, your family that come in and get their equipment serviced often. And that's because you guys do such a great job. Tell us about your service department.
Yeah, man, those guys back there do a fantastic job. We've got a full shop of some techs back there, and we work on, of course, Kubota, but Land Pride equipment and even TerraForce and Diamond mowers. A lot of our guys run our Diamond brush cutters and mulchers, and so if you know, seeing that drum mulcher or cutter needs like a little tune-up, man, we can work on it all. So really excited to be able to help out the community and service, because at the end of the day, I feel like that's truly what means the most.
Yeah. And when people keep coming back, you know, it's working, and I see that often. So we've talked about the location. You can see it from 10, but it's back there on Fellowship Drive behind the VA hospital in Tillman's Corner. If people want to contact you before they get out there, how do you recommend they do that?
Yeah, feel free to call the store, or of course we've got Joy, myself, and Scooter, who is our other salesman here. And Scooter, actually, he'll be getting on next week to kind of tap in more about the fishing rodeo coming up.
Yeah.
And so y'all be sure to stay tuned to that. Scooter's been around the area for a while, so he's going to have some good stuff to talk about. But, yeah, call the store, or feel free to, even if you call up to the store, they can direct you to sales, service, parts. So it's pretty easy to get a hold of any of us here.
Yeah, it sure is. And you're right. Got the Roy Martin this coming weekend, and then the Big Daddy next weekend at the ADSR.
That's right.
So appreciate your time this morning, Sage, and looking forward to talking again.
Well, Dalton, man, I really appreciate you, and it's been an honor to be on this and talk to you guys. So, everybody come out, find some color tags, mm-hmm. and just come meet us all. So it'd be great.
All right. Sounds good. There you go. Sage Klingon. He is with Capital Tractor in their new location there, 4894 Fellowship Drive, capitaltractor.com.
Nice guy.
I saw a new friend of ours, maybe a new friend of mine. You've known him a little bit longer than me, but Jeremy Clark
Yeah, and he was out there, right?
He was out there, and I know they helped put some pens, some cattle pens out on his property out where he's doing Vets to Cowboys. So they work closely together,
too.
It's amazing.
But yeah. When you get out of the building and you start to meet all these people, then you find out that they all know each other, and they're connected as well. Those are good people. That sounds like a really heck of a nice guy right there.
Really great community we've grown here. 840-251-343-0106. And let's hit some texts here. Fire Dog.
Not a fan of soccer.
Well, not a fan of soccer, but also we've been talking about this NATO summit. And did you see Trump going after Maloney again? I'll get to that here in a second. The Italian prime minister.
Already this morning?
It was yesterday or the day before. They've been friendly for a time, and now things have changed. But as far as Ukraine, and they don't have... They're saying they don't have these Patriot interceptor missiles.
Right.
I believe them because...
I know the evidence would say they don't.
Yeah, I think Russia was 23 for 23 with the ballistics early yesterday morning. Yeah. And they're still able to knock drones and other missiles out of the skies. But the ballistics, without those Patriot missiles, they're good on the actual equipment, on the Patriot missile, I guess, you know, cinders. But the missiles themselves, they're running low. And so much of that is because we used them for defense in the Middle East over these last 4 months. But Zelensky is supposed to come to Trump, and they're meeting this week. And I think really what Trump is wanting to do, after talking with Putin and Zelensky, when they gave him a happy 250th birthday call on Saturday, he's wanting to bring an end to this thing somehow, some way. But Fire Dog said, we send them cash, anti-tank missiles, and Patriot missiles. Mm. The EU then turns around and buys 40% of their liquid natural gas, the LNG, from Russia, as well as refined oil and gas. They expect America to put out the fire on the other side. They're hosing it down with gas. Seems kind of pointless, doesn't it? Yeah, and remember, Trump was warning the Europeans, specifically Germany. Was that 2016 or 2018 that iconic, one of many iconic pictures, but the picture of him at a NATO meeting, or it might have been an EU meeting, where he was sitting by himself at a table. Well, he wasn't by himself. It was almost like, well, he was sitting down. He had his arms crossed, and you had all of the other world leaders behind him, almost like arguing. And just an amazing image. But that was when he told them that you need to quit buying your energy from Russia. You're building up this war machine that could very well come after your ass before long.
Yeah, I know.
And they made fun of him for it. And he was exactly right in still buying that energy from Russia while trying to fight a war, a proxy war, against Russia. It's never made a whole lot of sense.
No.
Launchers, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you, the Patriot missile launchers.
Yep.
Fire Dog also talking about old age. You brought up that list of things that older folks do. He said, when you get out of the chair, at least five things go pop. Why does my 84-year-old father wear a sweater and keep his house at 78 year-round?
See, that's what I was... I was just trying to point out in our little conversation. Am I... Like, I'm not there yet, right?
No.
That was my point.
No.
Like, if I can have it on 68...
You were wanting vindication.
I was.
Or affirmation, more likely.
Affirmation, yeah. Like, okay, this is the complaint about older people. Well, I'm kind of one of them, so do you have any of these complaints about me? That was the exercise that we were...
And it doesn't take me to tell everyone that you're young at heart and young at humor. Mm. That is for sure.
Okay.
And, I mean, you work out more than almost anyone I know. You could easily have played 50 minutes in that match last night. Against Belgium, and you might have done a better job.
No, I would have played 50 minutes, and I would have sucked, too.
Well, you could have sucked just like they did. And he also said, soccer, you touch the guy, they fall down and act like they're dying. MLB batter gets hit by a 100-mile-an-hour pitch.
Takes his base.
He shakes it off and takes his base.
Yeah.
Well, it's also gamesmanship, and I agree. I hate the flopping, and I hate the laying around, but there's a reason they do that, and that's because the rules very often encourage them to do that, and sometimes they can draw a foul or some sort of penalty or buy some time. When you get hit with a 100-mile-an-hour pitch and you're at the plate, you're only going to go to first base no matter how long you lie there on the ground.
Yeah.
So part of it's gamesmanship, but I agree. There's a lot of kind of sissiness there is in soccer. But I also think they get ran. I mean,
they get banged up.
Hit hard.
Here's the game changer. I just thought of it because somebody made reference to LeBron James. I don't know where they were going.
Motorman said too many LeBron James in soccer. I think we would actually be better off if we had more LeBron
James. If you had a kid with that size and build. Because look, the guy from...
You're talking Holland? Erling Haaland?
Yeah. He dominates because he's big and strong and he can do all kinds of things inside, right? And he's fast. So he's like 6'4", 195.
Yeah, 6'5", 190.
So now you take a, if you take an athlete or just a couple of athletes in the size and speed of a tight end in football or LeBron James in basketball, and you place him in that part of the, you know, where he's kind of down offensively in a spot down in the neighborhood of the goal.
Yeah.
He's going to be able to, that could change everything. I think we could have a soccer player that changes the football,
yeah,
that changes the sport because of some of the genetics.
I agree partially that if America were more of a soccer country, which I'm not necessarily calling for, I kind of like what we've got going on right now.
Yeah, but
college football and NFL,
we have it in excess. We could take some of those and drop them into soccer.
But I think that may be a little overstated as well. I think it's nice to say that. Like, well, if
every
our
NFL
most
team,
incredible athletes were playing soccer.
Every NFL team has two amazing tight ends.
Also,
so that's the that's the tight ends,
you're
looking
right
for.
But you would also need, and I was reading this guy talking about it, before the World Cup began. I don't think it's always necessarily the biggest guys that mm-hmm. you want. I mean, like you said, if you had a striker that's 6'5", or if you had a goaltender that was like 7 foot tall with a Shaq-like wingspan,
so you,
then you'd be maybe better off as long as they could move. But you got to have a lot of point guards, a lot of that size guy that can really run around and be incredibly shifty.
Don't we have some of those now? Don't we already have some?
We have some really great athletes on that team.
So now what I'm saying is the missing link is the Sasquatch dude,
yeah,
the great athlete who's 6'7".
Yeah.
And I guess last night their goaltender was 6'6".
Big
right?
guy. I think they said he's the best goalie in the world, the announcer said.
He looked really problematic.
Yeah.
You know, he was, and I saw him during the national anthem when they came out. It was like, everybody is this tall. Suddenly, now this guy's chin is barely in the shot.
In hockey.
There's your goalie.
In hockey, they're like, some people are like, what if you just get a guy that's fatter than the goal and sit him in there? I still think he would get scored on much more often than even if his entire body took up the goal.
If your entire body is bigger than the goal, you've got so many – you have so many health issues you could not play, a couple of minutes on the ice.
Chris in Orange Beach said the hardest thing in sports to do is hit a round ball with a round stick going 100 miles an hour and moving to the right or left. I agree that, you know, hitting from the plate is against those kinds of pitchers. I don't know how they do it. I mean, that is an incredible hand-eye coordination. But I have a hard enough time hitting a smaller white ball that's sitting still there and hitting it where I need it to go. I still say quarterback of a football team is the most difficult job mm-hmm. in sports, bar none.
Yeah.
And I'll argue that forever.
I think that's probably fair. The reason that this is how bad a golfer I am, and I played for years. God knows only. God loved the people that played with me.
Yeah.
They're patient. but there's a reason you've never seen me play golf, D.O. We've never gone out and played.
Yeah.
And that's because...
You're always working.
I gave up playing. Golf is a public
sport. Then
you have
a club fitter tell you some really mean things one time when you were just a club fitter, but a swing guru.
A swing analyst.
Yeah.
Here's two of my mentors overlooking my golf game. Here were some of the comments. On the course at Spring Hill College, Lawrence Hour once said, "Have you thought about darts?" Said, "No, Lawrence, I'm out here for a lesson with you, so no." And then a swing analyst in Daphne saw me swing a couple of times and said, "Have you been in a bad accident in your lifetime?" So that's the assessment of my swing right there.
Yeah, which is still, and I've heard many people say many really mean things. That was one of the meanest things I've ever heard.
He wasn't being mean. Now, Lawrence was with the Doris reference, but the guy in Daphne, he was being sympathetic.
Yeah.
Like, I should write this guy a card.
He's actually impressed that you're able to swing the way you are, because
right.
You clearly had a life-altering accident.
All those months in the hospital, I must really love the game.
Michael, we were talking about the Ukraine-Russia thing, and he said, "I know the Ukraine-Russia war isn't going great for Russia, but I wouldn't say Russia is on their heels." I was kind of riffing when doing that story, and Ukraine has been putting up a hell of a fight these last couple months, but Michael does note that just this past Friday, Russia took complete control of the key city of Konstantinivka. that's been hindering their Western expansion for over a year now. So good point there, Michael. I don't know if this is the week to try to bring it to an end or not. It's so tough to tell with the different stories out there. But they were running the theme again this weekend that both sides are ready for it to end. And Trump says Putin is as ready for this to end as anyone. And, of course, with Ukraine able to strike some of that energy infrastructure and even into Moscow, that they're having some severe fuel shortages right now.
Yeah, they are.
And that the people aren't happy. But what does that matter to Putin, right? How happy his people are.
Yeah, how happy do you have to keep the people? Well, I guess you don't want them raging mad, but at the same time, it is an election that you already know the results.
I mean, and how happy do you feel you need to make a country when you've already sent, you know, already over well over a million of their young sons have been gravely wounded, you know, and how many have died? Somewhere around 500, 600,000, I think they said on the Russian side.
That's amazing, and you're right, and they keep going. They keep shuffling them in.
Michael also said the reason Whiny Quinn and the nappy types didn't see many celebrations is the type of people they surround themselves with all have Trump derangement syndrome and are just generally America haters. Yeah, what you saw and the vibe you got from this 4th of July, this big America 250 Independence Day celebration, tells me a lot about what kind of media you consume, one way or the other. But I'm just talking about what I saw with my own eyes out in public.
But 100%, 100% you are correct on that, in my estimation. The media that you consume, that's everything. 852, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, will preview the Jeff Poor Show on the way.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
What's going on, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, 8:56 now, minutes away from the Jeff Poor Show. He's got Andrew Sorrell, always a good conversation with the state auditor. Andrew's on beginning around 9:35, a former U.S. representative. Jerry Carl, of course, he would like to be that once again. He'll be on at 10:35, and Will Hampson, he's a political advisor, and he is on in the 11:35 slot on the Jeff Poor Show, which is on the way.
It is, and I think really, now that we're just about a month out, time to really start diving in on these special elections that we have coming up August 11th, and you know, specifically for us, Alabama Congressional District 1, now that we're not stuck in between two congressional districts.
Now we know.
Yeah, the AL2 race, of course, important as well, but not as much to our part of the state. Would love to get your opinions on that. Maybe we can open it up more tomorrow on our text line, 251-343-0106.
Yeah, you're right. We're nearly just a month away now.
Yeah, and okay. So we'll hear from Congressman Carl on with Jeff here in the next hour, but we will, or next 2 hours. But we'll work to get some more of those candidates on. And I believe a couple of them spoke last night at the Grand Hall on Halls Mill Road. They were supposed to be there with, was it Stathagen that was kind of introducing them?
Yeah, I believe it was.
You had, I think, John Mills and was it Sidwell? I forget the two that showed up last night. But we'll get all of the candidates on, as many as want to come on before August 11th and that special election. And then from there, man, it is, and we don't have as many close races between Republicans and Democrats. Normally those are pretty sorted out by the end of the primaries, but it won't be long before November. And I think things are really going to, I mean, we see the Plattner news this week. Yeah. Things are really starting to ramp up, and we'll start seeing even more mudslinging, if you can't believe it.
Yeah, they called the October surprise, and probably more of those are on the way. I guarantee you more of those are on the way across the country.
For sure. 8:58, and Jeff Poor Show on the way. Reminder, that Strengthen Alabama Homes grant program, that window opens up for Mobile County residents here in about a minute. For Baldwin County residents, you get your chance Thursday.